We are speaking to you from the Grand Ballroom of the Hotel Waldorf Astoria in New York City, where a dinner is being given under the auspices of the National Federation of Press Women. At this dinner, the organization's annual awards to American radio will be presented, and it's the purpose of our broadcast to bring you not only the presentation of these awards, but the addresses of the distinguished speakers at this affair. Our chairwoman is Mrs. Joseph E. Goodbar, president and founder of the National Federation of Press Women. We present Mrs. Goodbar.
Radio programs receiving awards are some which touch closely the fields of peace and understanding among the nations of the world. The ceremonies pertaining to that particular award will provide the highlights for the program that follows. A brief resume of the awards already made will help give meaning and substance to what is about to take place. Our survey asks for selection of the best series of broadcasts in a number of particular classes. The award for the best morning weekday program went to Dr. William L. Stidger, Getting the Most Out of Life, sponsored by Standard Brands. And the preference among afternoon weekday programs was American School of the Air, provided by the Columbia Broadcasting System. Among radio commentators, the winning program was Calkin Vaughn Edits the News, sponsored first by Columbia and later by the Pure Oil Company. For recording actual history-making broadcasts from Europe during the crisis last year, a special award has been made to Alfred J. McCosker, chairman of the board of the Mutual Broadcasting System. Dorothy Thompson's part in The Hour of Charm, sponsored by General Electric Company, and broadcast over NBC, was voted the best radio program contributed by a woman. At the same time, a certificate of merit was awarded to Margaret Cuthbert of the National Broadcasting Company for her constructive direction of the Women's Activities Department. For good taste and restraint in advertising announcements, an award was given to Ford Motor Company's Sunday Evening Hour over Columbia. The choice for rural listeners was the National Farm and Home Hour, an NBC sustaining program. For developing the minds and characters of children under 12, the choice was Irene Wicker's Musical Plays, also an NBC sustaining program. The best for developing the minds and characters of youth over 12 was Walter Damrosch's Music Appreciation Hour, sponsored by NBC. In dramatic art, for the best performance of plays written for or adapted to the radio, the award went to Orson Welles for his Mercury Theater of the Air, a Columbia sustaining program, and to its successor, Campbell's Playhouse, sponsored by Campbell's Soup Company. In the fields of music, three awards have been made this evening. One went to Alfred Wallenstein for his Sinfonietta broadcast over the Mutual System, another to the concerts conducted by Arturo Toscanini, for which the award was given to David Sarnoff, chairman of the board of NBC, and another to the New York Philharmonic Orchestra over Columbia. The series chosen as most effective in preserving American ideals was America's Town Meeting of the Air, an NBC sustaining program directed by George V. Denny. Awards were also given to NBC and to Columbia for the religious programs they have so effectively provided, and to William L. Shearer of Columbia for his on-the-spot news broadcast from the Central Europe during the crisis. We now come to the splendid series of programs originating in 17 great nations of the world, a salute of the nations in honor of the World's Fair. These were participated in by kings, rulers, and other high officers. The highest executive officers of the Canadian Broadcasting Company, National Broadcasting Company, Columbia Broadcasting System, and the Mutual Broadcasting System, which carried these programs over their networks, are assembled here this evening. Here also sits Dr. John S. Young, radio director of the New York World's Fair, who conceived these radio broadcasts. At my side is Mr. Thomas Donovan, administrative assistant to the president of the New York World's Fair. The real color of this occasion, however, is dependent mainly on the official representatives of participating nations. the originator of these splendid programs. To him, I now award a certificate of merit. It reads, to John S. Young, Director of Radio and Television, New York World's Fair, in acknowledgement of his social vision and professional skill in planning and arranging the international broadcast series, The Salute of the Nations, sponsored by the New York World's Fair in 1939. Chosen to receive a dual award as the most original program idea and also the shortwave program, these splendid broadcasts perform a significant service in developing a more cordial and enlightened understanding among the nations of the world. Dr. Young.
Thank you, Mrs. Goodbar. I am deeply grateful to the National Federation of Press Women for the honor of participating in these distinguished awards. In accepting this citation, I do so in no personal sense, but only on behalf of those whose cooperation, so generously given, could have made possible a program series of such magnitude and importance. Especially do I want to thank the great foreign broadcasting systems abroad, who supervised the actual building and production of the Salute of the Nations in their respective countries, and whose devoted and unselfish assistance brought the program to a successful conclusion. Especially do I want to pay public tribute to the inspiring leadership of the Honorable Grover A. Whalen, President of the New York World's Fair Corporation, and to his capable staff of Thomas J. Donovan, Robert S. Wood, and also Mr. A. A. Schechter of NBC, Paul White of Columbia, and George W. Johnstone of The Mutual. It is always difficult to estimate the actual accomplishments of a program like the Salute of the Nation. We know, of course, that it was a series well worth building, valued purely on the basis of the beautiful music and the stimulating discussions of present-day problems, particularly by the heads of state which it offered its listeners. We, too, know that the social and spiritual message of these broadcasts found a warm welcome in the hearts of millions of men and women everywhere throughout the world, particularly after the unsettled conditions following the October crisis in Europe, as evidenced by the many words of praise and outstanding recognition which the series has received in the foreign press in nearly every country of the world. And yet, as I reflected, it seems to me that the thing of most account in the case of the Salute of the Nations is not what it did, but what it proved. The enthusiastic reception accorded this program is ample evidence that man's innate yearning for harmony has not been completely demoralized by his troubles and doubts. It proved that men of goodwill are still the rule in this world rather than the exception. It testified to the fact that humanity is still on the credit side in the matter of faith and aspiration. And it proved the overwhelming truth of the famous observation that the only way to have a friend is to be one. Thank you.
On each of the radio networks, identical certificates are to be given in alphabetical order. I will therefore read the first citation, and you will remember that it applies to each. It reads, to the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation for making available to a worldwide audience the radio series most effectively promoting international peace, the Salute of the Nations. To the General Manager of the Canadian Broadcasting Company, Major W. Gladstone Murray.
Goodbye. This award is a distinction which the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation esteems and values in high measure. I would add to my expression of gratitude a tribute to the enterprise and public spirit of the National Federation of Press Women for initiating critical surveys of radio programs, the art form of which, now emerging, needs the stimulus and guidance of such competent criticism and appreciation. The broadcast salutes of the nations to the New York World's Fair, the occasion of this award, was a fine conception, for which the World's Fair management and particularly Dr. John S. Young have richly earned the thanks of the whole world of radio. The programs, reflecting as they did the characteristic culture and aspirations of the countries concerned, reached an international audience which is of stupendous proportions. In my view, worthwhile entertainment such as this, untainted by propaganda, may be a powerful corrective of the influences and tendencies which seem to threaten civilization. Mrs. Goodbar and members of the National Federation of Press Women, it is a great honor to participate in this ceremony, and particularly in association with my good friends and generous colleagues of North American Radio, Major Lennox Lahr, President of the National Broadcasting Company, Mr. William S. Paley, President of the Columbia Broadcasting System, and the Chairman, Mr. A.J. McCosker, Chairman of the Board of the Mutual Broadcasting System. Ladies and gentlemen, it is my privilege to convey to you the thanks and the greetings of the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation.
The next citation goes to the Columbia Broadcasting System, whose president is Mr. William S. Paley. Mr. Paley.
Mrs. Goodbar, ladies and gentlemen, it is with real pleasure and gratification that I accept for the Columbia Broadcasting System this award for our participation in presenting to a worldwide audience the salute of the nation's broadcast. The certificate itself, as you have heard, calls special attention to the development of a more cordial and enlightened understanding among the nations of the world through modern broadcasting. It has been the dream of many broadcasters in many countries of the world that the instrument of radio might bring about a closer and friendlier feeling among the peoples of different nations. In presenting these awards, the National Federation of Press Women are encouraging and stimulating the efforts of broadcasters in that direction. Nothing could be healthier or more necessary, especially when we realize that it is unfortunately possible for the very instrument we tonight are praising to be used just as efficiently and effectively in gaining just the opposite objective. In accepting this honor tonight, I should like to express my thanks to Mr. Grover Whalen, to Dr. John Young, and the New York World's Fair for the opportunity they have afforded us. And I should like very sincerely to congratulate the National Federation of Press Women for their constructive interest in emphasizing one of the noteworthy roles played by radio. Thank you.
Madam President, guests of the National Federation of Press Women, ladies and gentlemen of the radio audience, I want to begin by saying not merely a polite, but a very sincere word of appreciation for this opportunity to appear before you. I am more pleased than I can say to accept on behalf of Station WOR and the Mutual Broadcasting System this certificate so graciously awarded for our part in broadcasting the Salute of the Nation series to the American people. In expressing our gratitude, I cannot refrain from a very emphatic word of praise for the exemplary way in which this series of programs was devised and staged under the capable direction of my very good friend, John Young. I can't quite get accustomed to calling him Doctor. It was an unparalleled job, in my opinion, and practically a model of organization. We of WOR and Mutual feel that the salute of nations originating in 17 countries about this globe marks a praiseworthy effort toward the cementing of goodwill and engendering more kindly feeling among the nations of the world. Despite many differences in political, racial, and economic situations and problems, these 17 nations have contributed much to the amity of the world by participating in a common tribute to the world of tomorrow. A more prosperous, intelligent world, I hope, wherein there will be little or no political squabble or international ill will. It is strikingly appropriate that radio should have been the vehicle chosen to bring these expressions of friendliness to America and the World's Fair. In radio, the world sees an avenue of salvation toward the day when friction and problems of all nations may be eliminated in the peace of a universal understanding. Radio is such a powerful force. We must harness it for good, for education, for the bringing together of all people. Yearly, it tightens its threads of communication around the world, bringing us into smaller and into more interdependent communities. The messages which it bears from one nation to another must be messages of friendliness, of respect, of sympathy, and helpfulness, if we are to employ radio for the continued growth of civilization and mankind. Salute of the Nations series has been a decisive step in this direction, in my opinion. Through the miracle of the short wave, it has brought the voices and the sentiments of the world's greatest leaders and statesmen to the people of the United States, brought their expressions of friendliness and goodwill precisely as from one neighbor to another. We of WOR and the Mutual Network are happy to have participated, along with other American broadcasters, in carrying the entire Salute of Nations series, and in accepting the certificate for my associates, I do so with a feeling of gratitude and satisfaction that once again we have played a part in the utilization of radio for a good and a noble purpose. I thank you.
The next certificate and citation goes to the National Broadcasting Company, whose president is Mr. Lennox R. Lohr. Mr. Lohr.
Madam Chairman, members of the National Federation of Presswomen, and distinguished guests, the nations of today are divided into two groups. Those who would impress their philosophies on others, no matter what the cost, and those who would live under their own philosophies, but in harmony with their neighbors, though they be of different convictions. The more nearly these nations stand united in purposeful peace, bound together by friendship and understanding, the better this world will be. In radio lies an unexcelled means for building this bulwark of peace, affording wide opportunity for exchanging ideas and thoughts. It is a strong tie to bind those of high ideals and standards. And so there rests upon American broadcasters an obligation to develop and utilize this instrument of goodwill. That we are alive to our opportunity is clearly evidenced by the record. Last year, the listeners on NBC networks alone heard 589 individual pickups from 52 countries, as well as many international figures in public affairs who visited our shores, presenting their divergent viewpoints over our facilities. Our shortwave service, operating 16 hours every day and utilizing six languages, broadcast over 16,000 programs last year to foreign audiences, most of which were built especially for the audience at which each was directed. Each day's schedule includes many broadcasts of unbiased, uncolored news. Other broadcasting companies are making impressive contributions to this same end. The service which these broadcasts give to the cause of peace was concisely reflected in an editorial of the Dallas, Texas Morning News on May 27th, as follows, I quote, International broadcasts serve world stability. Truth is the most effective antidote to misleading propaganda. If the people of the world can get accurate reports of what is going on, they will be less likely to accept dangerous political doctrines and less inclined to rush blindly into needless wars. In keeping with this belief, the National Broadcasting Company has been happy to participate in the salute from the 17 nations of the world of today to the world of tomorrow. It is an earnest of our desire to serve those who have in their keeping the destiny of mankind. Thank you.
The next citation reads as follows: to Grover A. Whalen, president of the World Fair Corporation, for distinguished service in the cause of international peace, accomplished through the foresight and vision which have conceived and brought to glorious consummation the New York World's Fair. Mr. Donovan is representing Mr. Whalen.
Thank you, Mrs. Goodbar, for your heartfelt words and for the great privilege of representing Mr. Whalen, who, unfortunately, and much to his regret, is unable to be present here tonight, and for the privilege of addressing the ladies of the press, the distinguished representatives of the radio industry, and the friends of the New York World's Fair present or listening in. We are deeply appreciative of the honor that the National Federation of Press Women has conferred upon the president of the New York World's Fair 1939 Incorporated. However, Mr. Whalen has asked me to accept this certificate of merit and citation, not only on his behalf, but on behalf of others. It is accepted in behalf of the incorporators of the fair, whose faith, courage, and even money went into the New York Fair long before there was any concrete evidence of such an international event. It is accepted in behalf of the Board of Directors of the Fair Corporation, those distinguished citizens and leaders of American industrial and civic life whose great abilities find reflection in their own business or civic success, as well as in the success of the New York World's Fair. It is accepted in behalf of the fair's staff, rank and file, which, during the past 3 years, has grown from a small knot of workers to an efficient organization of thousands of people. To their devotion and talent is in great measure due the now obvious success of the exposition. It is accepted in behalf of the industries and the business firms participating in the fair, either as exhibitors or concessionaires. They have invested many millions of dollars to display their products and to advance their services, as well as to show their courage and their faith and their will to enter into a social contract for the betterment of all humanity. I wish to acknowledge, too, our corporation's gratitude to the foreign nations that are telling their stories at the New York World's Fair. If it is within my province to do so, I wish to accept this honor in their behalf. And finally, it is accepted in behalf of the creative talent of the United States, for it is that talent which produced the New York World's Fair of 1939. It was given to this metropolitan city to hold the fair, but the American people have it in their own right by virtue of their past accomplishments and their aspirations for the future. As most of you listeners must be aware, the New York Fair today is entertaining and instructing the world. For this hopeful situation, we are indebted chiefly to two agencies, the press and the radio. To these agencies, the fair owes its success, and to them, it is profoundly grateful. In my opinion, both press and radio have gone to new heights of attainment in displaying their faithfulness to the fair as a place of entertainment and instruction, and as a social force. Those of you who work for the country's press can tell better than I just how much the fair has meant to you in the way of inspiration and good copy. Probably more words have already been lavished upon the fair than upon any other connected sequence of events since the World War. And the end is not yet in sight. The New York World's Fair continues to have need of the cooperation of the press as we advance our mutual interests. Radio has not only given of its best service to the fair, it has extended that service because of the fair. The art and scope of broadcasting have been advanced. The fair is being helpful in the development of television. Because we can work to mutual advantage, I am proud to be here tonight and to publicly thank the Canadian Broadcasting Company, the Columbia Broadcasting System, the Mutual Broadcasting System, and the National Broadcasting System, whose officials are here with us, for the great part which they have played in the success of the New York World's Fair. We pledge to them, as we pledge to the press, continued cooperation as together we serve a humanitarian cause. In conclusion, Mrs. Goodbar, may I extend to you on behalf of Mr. Whalen and the New York World's Fair our thanks and our congratulations on your splendid achievement. Thank you.